Coming up on sports and stuff, a recap of week three in the NFL, and also news on Antonio Brown and the New England Patriots. I'll talk about plenty of those and some other entertainment talk as well this week on the show. Sports and stuff is coming up right after these messages right here on EPRN and the app.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Welcome to Sports and Stuff, everyone. Glad you could join us this week. I want to start off the show by apologizing. I had originally planned to have an EPRN host on the show this week. Alex, he is a host of one of the other shows on EPRN. I'm sorry to say he will not be joining us this week. He had gotten busy in his personal life, so we're going to shoot for next week. He'll be on the show. You'll get to hear him and me talk. So he'll be a guest on our next show, but for now it'll be just me for this week. So I want to apologize for that on a programming note. So next week we'll get to hear from Alex. And as we start the show this week, the biggest news that came out of the NFL this past week was that Antonio Brown was released by the New England Patriots. It was a bit shocking, but I wasn't surprised. He was not able to clean up his act. I mean, a lot of his problems in the past just followed him to New England, and I mean, the man needs help. I mean, he needs a therapist or something or counseling. I mean, he's a great football player, a great wide receiver, but he is not a good person. And that was evident. I mean, he was getting accused by former trainers on one of his former teams of sexual assault. He was in a group text message, which got out of hand. It was just a mess. And the Patriots, I give them credit. They did not want that distraction going on for their organization. That's not what they're all about. They've never been about, you know, a diva or an egomaniac like himself. And so they did the right thing and released him. And it was a little disappointing because I wanted to see how he would have done for a full season with the Patriots. But enough was enough. He was on a short leash, and he didn't do enough to change his behavior. So they cut him. And they did what was best for their organization. And, I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, you know, I was not a fan of the Antonio Brown signing to begin with. I was hoping and praying he would, you know, that there wouldn't be any problems, but there were. I mean, he wasn't with the Patriots even, you know, he hadn't even played one game with them, and already he was being accused of sexual assault. I mean, that's not right. That's a bad way to make an impression on people. You know, to bring in your past problems into your life now, it's unfortunate that it happened, but you know, it is what it is. Antonio Brown's got a lot of problems, and I think he needs to focus on that and how to improve his life and who he is as a person and the choices he makes instead of playing football. I mean, it worked for Josh Gordon. I mean, he stepped away from football for a while this past season and got help, and he's in a better place now mentally, and he's doing very well the first few games with the Patriots as a wide receiver. So, I mean, maybe the same thing needs to be done for Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know, but something needs to change with him. And so anyway, I'm glad that he's gone, and I mean, the Patriots were doing just fine without him. They're undefeated without him. So yeah, they're doing great. I'll go over some scores and highlights from week three in the NFL. The Patriots are now 3-0. They beat the New York Jets 30-14 at Foxborough on Sunday. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Titans 20-7. The Cowboys beat the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins are up to a bad start. They're not looking good at all. They're trying to rebuild. The Cowboys beat them 31-6. The Bills over the Bengals 21-17 in a close game. The Bills are undefeated as well, I believe. The Lions beat the Philadelphia Eagles 27-24. The Colts beat the Falcons in a very close game, 27-24 as well. Yeah, Falcons are a good team. They're just off to a tough start. And the Colts are, well, I'm surprised they even know who their quarterback is right now. After Andrew Luck left, I couldn't even tell you who the Colts quarterback is, honestly. Anyway, the Vikings over the Raiders, 34-14. The Chiefs beat the Ravens, 33-28. Chiefs are off to a great start. It's really a two-team race in the AFC. It's going to be really the Patriots and the Chiefs, I think. I don't think it's even close, really. So they're playing each other later this season. So that could be big for that could determine home field advantage in the conference. But that's a ways away. The Packers beat the Broncos 27-16. The Panthers over the Cardinals 38-20. Carolina wins. The Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-31, a very close game. Daniel Jones has stepped in nicely and done a good job for Eli Manning. So he's looking pretty good. I don't think the Giants are that much better. I mean, they're better with the quarterback position, but they still got to fix their defense with them in their secondary, I hear. So we'll see how that plays out. The Saints beat the Seahawks, meanwhile, 33-27. The Texans over the Chargers, 27-20. And the 49ers are off to a great start. Jimmy Garoppolo and those receivers, they're playing very well. They beat the Steelers 24-20. Steelers are off to a rough start. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season with an elbow injury. Very unfortunate for Pittsburgh. I don't know if they would have been all that much better anyway. I mean, they still would have been good, but I mean, maybe not the best team in the conference, but definitely a playoff team with Roethlisberger. Without Roethlisberger, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but still very unfortunate for them. And yeah, Nick Foles is out for the Jaguars, and Drew Brees had gotten hurt with a thumb injury. So they're out. I mean, a few quarterbacks are gone, and so that's not good news for them or for the NFL. But you just have to hope with Foles and Breeze that it's not that serious, that it's not season ending. Yeah, because think about it, if they're out for the season or for any extended period of time, that could really affect the NFL as a league. I mean, not just the teams they're on, but you know, it's a very quarterback-driven league. I mean, they need quarterbacks to perform well to bring in money. It's kind of a certain way of looking at it, but you call it a capitalist approach, I guess. But still, the league is fueled by quarterbacks, and without them, it's not as exciting. There's a couple good running backs out there, but it's mostly a quarterback league. Always kind of has been that way. So you just have to hope it doesn't damage the product of the NFL in the long run, which I don't think it will. I mean, there's enough quarterbacks out there. I mean, you still got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson is good too. I mean, there's some other good quarterbacks, but there's just a lot of bad football in the league. I mean, there's only a few good teams: the Patriots, the Chiefs, and who else is off to? I mean, the Bills are okay, I guess, for now. It's only 3 weeks in; it's early, too early to tell who's good and who's not. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are expected to have a lot of hype this year. I keep talking about them. Baker Mayfield's a good, young, exciting quarterback, but I mean, I don't know. Can he really lead a big turnaround in Cleveland and then make the playoffs? Maybe. We'll see. I mean, if they can fix their defense and stop taking so many penalties, I think they have a chance to get in as maybe at least a wild card, but they still got to prove themselves. They still got to get it done on the field, but they've got the city of Cleveland excited, that's for sure. So that's the latest on NFL Week 3. I mean, at this point, I think it's too early to tell who's, the Patriots are definitely one of the better teams. I mean, the Cowboys are good, too. The Chiefs are off to a good start. Like I said, the 49ers are off to a good start as well. Bills are looking good, too. I mean, they got a good defense, at least, if anything. They have a young quarterback, but they have a very good defense, at least. And Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are looking really good. I mean, I think the Cowboys are probably one of the better teams in the NFC early, and the Patriots and Chiefs, like I said, are a two-team race in the AFC. But you know, I think when you get to like week six or seven, about halfway through, or week eight, then you know who's good, and then and whatnot. So that's the latest I have, at least as far as the NFL goes. But yeah, that is, like I said, go back to Antonio Brown. You know, that's all that was being talked about on sports talk radio the past week or two, is, you know, one Brown allegation after another, and the Patriots did the right thing to cut ties with him. I mean, why would you want a negative presence in your locker room or a distraction? You know, nobody wants that. That's probably why no one's going to sign him. I don't see Brown going anywhere the rest of the season. Nobody wants to deal with his diva personality or his, you know, his past problems. So they did the right thing by cutting him. He needs to focus on getting help for himself. There's services out there that can help him. That's for sure. I mean, there's counseling and therapy and whatever he needs. Yeah, he needs help. That's for sure. Don't we all sometimes, I guess. But still, best of luck to Antonio Brown. Hopefully he's able to get his life back on track. And, we hardly knew you. He played one game. He had a good first one game against the Dolphins, but just too much of a troublemaker. So, anyway, we'll take a break and come back with more sports and stuff after these messages. Coming up, I'll talk about a little bit of pop music as far as a pop singer that passed away recently. I'll talk about that and plenty more coming up after these messages right here on Sports and Stuff. We'll be right back. Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. Here on Sports and Stuff, you're listening to EPRN, SoundCloud, and the Sports and Stuff app, or the Sports and Stuff app, whichever one you're listening to. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. Getting toward the end of summer here, start of fall. Taking a while to cool down in New England, but eventually we'll reach, you know, cooler temperatures as the fall begins. So as we move along here, I was mentioning before the break a little bit, I was going to talk some pop music here. Sad news to pass along. Rick Ocasek, who was the lead singer of The Cars, a popular 80s band, passed away this past week at age 75. Yeah, he was the lead vocalist for The Cars, sang all those great songs like You Might Think and You're Just What I Needed, popular 80s songs. They're so catchy. And yeah, he sang those. And, The Cars actually have a Massachusetts connection. The band's originally from Boston. They formed in Boston back in the day. Rick Ocasek was from England originally, but I think he moved to Boston at some point. But some of the other members are from Boston, and, were very popular in the 80s, that's for sure. Gave us some good 80s music. But very sad, though. Rick Ocasek passed away at age 75. I like The Cars. I like this, You Might Think It's Crazy. Dan, 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 dan. I like the keyboard. Dan, 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 dan. Yeah, it's a very, very fun and catchy song. And, I guess you're just what I need. It's what I need. Dan, 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 dan. Yeah, good radio. The songs are good for the radio, but it's probably all they're good for. Just to hum a few bars and get catchy. But he was a very good vocalist, though. Let's not forget that. He very talented. I could say he lived a long life. He could be 75, so it's pretty good. Three quarters of the way to 100. That got my attention because I do listen to quite a bit of music. So, anyway, just thought I'd pass that along. I've always been a fan of, older music like that, like in the 80s. And now I can't get my mouth on straight here. I guess you could call 80s music, older. And the same could be said with the other past decades, you know, 70s and 60s and whatnot. I'm lucky. I'm blessed that I got to, you know, grow up listening to a lot of oldies and classic rock music. My father has very good taste in music, so I'm glad I got to, you know, experience that. And it's a lot of what I listen to is older. I'm not a fan. I mean, I'm gonna sound like an old person saying this, but I'm not really a fan of like today's music that much. Not really. I mean, if a song is popular or catchy, I might like it, but it doesn't beat, you know, good old-fashioned rock and roll and classic rock and all that stuff. Yeah, it's just in my soul, in my blood, you know, oldies. I grew up listening to the Beatles and the Beach Boys and the... God, what else do I listen to? It's more like, what don't I listen to? What don't I listen to is modern pop music, but what I do listen to is got oldies, classic rock... God, what else do I... The Motown, disco, funk, soul, God, what else do I... like jazz. That's fun. I guess I don't mind a little R&B, but, I don't listen to much rap or country. I like rap because it's kind of cool and funky if you do it right, but. You know, like swear whatever, but I don't know, it's just not my favorite. And country music, I guess, more of an acquired taste. I'm not a big country fan, but I know it's popular. I mean, I could understand why people like it, but it's just not my kind of, you know, preferred taste of music. But anyway, I'm getting kind of off the rails here with music. Yeah, you know, I don't think I never really would have probably gained the appreciation I had for music if I didn't grow up with a father that loved it and if I didn't play in band growing up. You know, I played in concert band, jazz band growing up as a kid. It's kind of a band geek, I'll admit. Played the clarinet and the piano as well for a little while. I'm someone that thinks that music should definitely be taught in schools. I don't think it should be eliminated or taken away just because schools can't afford the funding for instruments. But it's definitely something that I think could be, you know, taught and used in real life. Not just, you know, the playing the music, but like things like understanding, you know, harmony and rhythm and balance and counting and working as a group or as an ensemble, you know, as a team. I think listening to, you know, to it, you know, playing it, you know, there's definitely aspects that I think are very valuable. I think it definitely should be taught, and I hope it's taught in a lot of schools, and I don't know if it is, but if it's not, then it should be. And even if it's not something you want to do the rest of your life, it's fun. You know, music's fun, it makes you happy. You know, some people like to do it because they want to be around their friends, so... Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people do it, actually, because they form their own bands because they want to do it with their friends. So it's just a fun way to spend time with your friends and do something y'all like. I was never in like a rock band. I was never that cool, but I was in band and I enjoyed it. It was very fun for a lot of years, but it's not what I'm focused on right now. Focused on other things. So anyway, before I continue on with the John Meisner autobiography here, we'll continue on here after these quick messages, and we'll come back with more sports and stuff after this. Stay with us. Village Pizza is the family-owned East Hampton, Massachusetts establishment that has been serving the local community for over 40 years. Well known for their delicious Greek-style pizza pies and the best local spot to go hang out and watch a Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots game. Village Pizza, 100 Union Street, East Hampton.
BB Authentic Original Sportswear is the location for all of your activewear, sportswear, caps, tees, polos, and more. Do you need custom authentic bags or accessories? Look nowhere else other than BB Authentic Original Sportswear. Go to bbauthentic.com. They've got it all. Ladies, youth, and junior sizes as well. Call 626-676-8227 now for custom woven shirts and even every day workwear. BB Authentic Original Sportswear.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff here on EPRN and the app. So as we move along here, talk about some more sports here. We'll talk a little baseball. We're getting toward the end of the regular season. The Red Sox have been mathematically eliminated. I knew it would only be a matter of time before they would be. They're already thinking ahead to next year. They're just playing the rest of the games on the schedule just because they have to. But there's a lot of questions about the Red Sox going into the offseason. I think I've brought them up before, but I'll readdress them. First of all, the biggest question is, what are they going to do with Mookie Betts? He'll be a free agent after the 2020 season. He wants a lot of money. I'm sure the Red Sox are willing to pay him, but the question is, are they going to give him exactly what he wants? They're going to have to negotiate something. They're going to have to talk about it in the offseason. And that is a very interesting conversation that they're going to have, because I don't know right now if Betts wants to leave or if he wants to stay. I don't think anybody's quite sure. So they're going to have to discuss that, if they want to give him an extension or just wait until after next season and let him just become a free agent on his own. But if there's ever a time to sign him, it's this offseason. They got to get something done. If he does leave, I think the Red Sox have a balanced enough, good enough offense to get by without him. I mean, they have Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers, who had just incredible years this year, both of them. Had over 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, 50 doubles for both of them. More than 50 doubles. So, they've got some pieces. They got Christian Vasquez, who had a great breakout year. The whole thing with the pitching's got to be adjusted. That's the biggest thing. But before I get to that, I'll talk about the offense here. So you got Mookie Betts, you got JD Martinez, and the market for him, he is interesting. There aren't a lot of teams that I think could use him, because he can't play in the field very well, so he would have to be a designated hitter. And he loves playing in Boston. The fans love him. I love him. As long as he doesn't opt out and want more money, I think he should probably stay with the Red Sox. I don't think the Yankees need a DH. They have all the offense they can get. he could play well at Fenway Park. He hits well the opposite field. He hits for high average and power. So I say keep him. I think there's a good chance that he will stay, as long as he doesn't get too greedy with money with somebody else. Then I think there's a good chance he will stay and finish out his contract. So I think JD Martinez will be here for next season. The question is Mookie Betts going to be here? See, that's the thing. If you keep Martinez, would they they could put him in the outfield maybe if Mookie Betts were to leave in free agency. They could play JD in like center field or right field or any really position, but then they wouldn't have a designated hitter, so they'd probably have to like, I don't know what they'd do then. let's think about that. They'd obviously have to get someone else, so maybe sign somebody in free agency. I don't know, that'd be kind of tough. The best thing to do is just keep JD as a DH, and hopefully if they don't get Mookie Betts back as a free agent, then if they do get something in return for him, then hopefully get some players to replace him. May need like two or three players at least. One that can play in outfield. And if Martinez leaves, like another DH or something. I don't know. A lot of questions for the Red Sox this offseason. Well, not just with the offense, but with the pitching, more importantly. Dave Dombrowski gave that team a lot of long contracts. And Chris Sale got a 5-year extension. Nathan Eovaldi's on a 4-year contract currently. I think Xander Bogaerts got a 6-year extension, I think, before the season or something like that. So he's committed for a while. Devers is going to be one of the stars of the future, I think. I would hate to see them trade one of them for like a blockbuster deal if Mookie Betts leaves, where they decide to trade him. But hoping it doesn't come to that. But if they do, assuming Bogaerts and Devers stay for the future, then I think the Red Sox are going to have to probably build from within, whoever they get as a replacement manager, or I should say a president of baseball operations. I don't know his current contract situation, but one player, one GM I'd like to see come back to Boston, and I'm curious to know what people think about this, is Theo Epstein. It's been several years since he left Boston. It was under unfortunate circumstances at the time with Terry Francona, along the whole fried chicken beer crap that was going on. I think that they're well past that now, and I don't know his contract situation with the Cubs, but if the Cubs don't make the playoffs this year and they're slipping in the wild card race, then would Theo want to leave and come back to Boston? Boy, I'd love to have him. I'd welcome him back with open arms, because when he was here, it was just everything just felt perfect. I mean, he had, he built from within, but he also had the money to sign free agents. It was just a beautiful mix, Talent from within, young players learn from the veterans that they sign as free agents. And Terry Francona was just oh my God, I love Francona so much. He was probably one of the best managers, if not the best manager in Red Sox history. Won 2 world championships. Love that guy. Everything was just great for several years. But, nothing lasts forever. So, they left on unfortunate terms, unfortunately. But still, I'd love for Epstein to come back. But if he doesn't come back, they really need to get someone that can build from within. Because Dombrowski's problem is he relied too much on top-heavy talent, and that destroyed the farm system. I mean, it destroyed AAA. And, and because of that, the Red Sox have a very uncertain future. And to make all those big decisions, they're going to need someone that knows how to, mix in free agents with building from within. So I couldn't tell you other than Epstein who else they can get right now. I mean, other media members probably have some ideas. I mean, I don't have anybody in mind, but Theo Epstein's one that comes to mind. If there's other names out there, they're probably talking about him. But I don't know at this point. I couldn't say other than Theo Epstein. But I'll tell you this, whoever it is going to have so many tough decisions to make. Does Mookie Betts stay? Do you get rid of him? Where do you do with Martinez? What do you do with the pitching staff? Will Chris Sale be healthy for next year? Where do you go with, is Pedroia coming back? That's another issue. Is Dustin Pedroia coming back? I mean, I love Pedroia, and I think he could, he's proved a lot of people wrong over his career. People thought he was too small. They thought he was just not going to make it, and he's had a borderline Hall of Fame career. He's once total of 3 world championships with the Red Sox, and it's a shame he hasn't played the last 2 seasons. He hasn't played a full year since 2017, so does he have it left in him anymore? I have a feeling he doesn't, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll give it like one more year and then retire, but I don't know. But it just gets to a point for players, and they'll tell you that they just can't do it anymore physically. It's very hard, but he has all winter and all off season to decide that. So, we'll see if Pedroia comes back. I'm kind of leaning toward him not coming back, but we'll see. I mean, Michael Chavez proved he could hit this year. He's actually can hit for power. So I wouldn't mind if they went with Chavez if Pedroia doesn't come back, but those decisions are going to be decided in spring training and Alex Cora, he learned a lot about the Red Sox this year. I think, he learned that, I guess him and the management just can't bring back the same players year in and year out because other teams are going to, adjust to how you do. And the Red Sox didn't make any adjustments themselves. They kept the same team thinking they could just win again with the same group of players, and they just didn't. They just didn't have the same magic. They were just missing something. They were missing that extra bit of greatness or that extra spark or whatever it was. That they didn't have that magic from last year. It's just everything just gelled. It just didn't have that this year. Maybe whoever their new president of baseball operations or GM will fix that, but I don't know. It's going to be a long winter. I'll say that. And Cora learned a lot, too. He learned that you can't rest guys too much in spring training because then they won't be ready. mean, most of the first month of the year, the Red Sox were still pitching like it was spring training, and it wasn't. I mean, the guy's got to get a little more work in. I mean, it's easy for me to say that as a fan, but it's just hard to find that balance. You know, you don't want to overwork a guy, but you don't want to, like, just, you know, give him too much rest to where he's not ready. So it's tough to find a balance. It's tough to find a happy medium, you know. So hopefully Cora will think about that in the offseason, as well as the decisions he made. Yeah, it seemed like last year everything Alex Cora did, it's like he was like Rumpelstiltskin. It's like everything touched a goal. You know, everything he touched, everything he touched turned to gold. Now it's like everything he touches this year just destroyed. You know, and it just didn't work out for him. And guys had down years. You know, I mean, Mookie Betts had a little bit of a down year. Andrew Benintendi had a down year. I mean, like I said, Bogaerts and Devers had breakout years, but. And so did Christian Vasquez, but I mean, the whole pitching staff had a down year. I mean, Rick Porcello was inconsistent. I think he might be a free agent too. Is he going to come back? I mean, oh, so many questions. Who's our closer going to be? I mean, that's another thing too. I mean, they made a mistake going with bullpen by committee. That doesn't last you a whole season. You need, I mean, that the teams that are in the playoff mix now, they have closers, and they're doing pretty well with them. You know, so you know, you just can't do bullpen by committee. It doesn't work. They tried guys, it just didn't work. The only guy that I could see maybe being a closer next season is Brandon Workman. But other than that, I mean, they may have to go get somebody in free agency. So it's going to be a very pivotal offseason for the Red Sox, that's for sure. And as far as the playoff race goes, I'm hoping it'll be Oakland and the Athletics and the Indians that get in. I don't want to see the Tampa Bay Rays get in. I don't think they have what it takes to go all the way. They don't have the talent. They have good pitching, but they're not going to get past, like, the Yankees or the Astros or the Twins. I don't see them getting past a lot of teams, really. even if they get the one-game wildcard game, I don't think they're going to win it. It's going to be in, like, in Oakland, probably. Oakland's playing incredible right now. They're the hottest team going in that's not winning the division. So, you know, interesting. I think it'll probably, I hope it's the Indians. I like the Indians. They're a good, scrappy team. Terry Francona's done a good job with them. So I'm hoping it's the Athletics and the Indians in the one-game wild card. And the National League is very interesting because they got, I don't even know, it keeps changing like day in and day out. I mean, the Nationals are in it. I think the Cardinals and the Brewers are the two wild card. No, those aren't the two wild card teams. I don't have it in front of me, but I think the Cardinals were one of the wild cards, and I think the Nationals were the other one. But yeah, the Cubs and the Mets are trying to stay in it, but they're fading. The Phillies are almost out of it mathematically. If they don't make a run at it the next week, they lose like one or two more games, they'll be out of it. So that's an interesting race to keep our eyes out for. I mean, it's really a three-team race, like I said, for the AL wild card between Oakland, Tampa, and Cleveland, and the National League, you got a few teams out there, like I said, so it's going to be an exciting last week of the year, that's for sure. It'll be a good playoffs this year. I'm hoping for the World Series that it's the Astros and the Dodgers in the World Series, but in the first round, I'm thinking, well, it depends who gets the one seed, but if it's whoever it is, whether it's the Astros or the Yankees, whoever plays the wild card should be a good matchup. Imagine if it's like Yankees versus Oakland in the round one in the division series, or if the Astros get the top seed, they have to face either Oakland or Cleveland. That'd be good. That'd be a good series. I mean, the Oakland plays in their division, the Athletics, so it'd be a good divisional matchup. But there's still a lot to be determined over the next week. And I was mentioning the Cubs. You know, the Craig Kimbrell, I mean, that signing just hasn't worked out. I mean, he didn't play for half the season until he waited to be signed. He didn't pitch well at the end of last year in the playoffs, so he hasn't really pitched well for a while since the middle of last year. So you have to hope this offseason, if the Cubs don't make it, that he's able to regroup and get back to what he was before. Because, you know, he's just a shell of himself right now. He's not pitching all that great. Gave up back-to-back home runs against the Cardinals the other day. It's not good. He needs some time to, you know, relax and reset and regroup for next year. So I don't think the Cubs are going to make it. I'll say Cardinals and maybe the Nationals play the one game wild card. But we'll see. Still got some baseball left to be played the last week of the year. So, with that, we'll take another break and come back with more sports and stuff after this. Stay with us. MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price. Welcome back to Sports and Stuff here on EPRN. And don't have a whole lot more to talk about on the show this week. I've pretty much addressed everything I wanted to. Just to look forward to what's coming up in the future, like I said, next week you will be hearing Alex Stoltz, an EPRN host. Hopefully we'll get him on the show, assuming he doesn't bail out on me like this week. Hopefully he'll be with us next week on the program, and so we'll have him to look forward to. And also, in a couple weeks from now, I keep forgetting to mention this, but hockey season is coming up. The Bruins start October 3rd against the Dallas Stars. That won't be till the beginning of October. But so we got hockey season to look forward to. Basketball season is still like about a month away. But yeah, can't wait for hockey to start. Can't wait to see the Bruins play again. That'll be fun. Yeah, the Bruins didn't make a whole lot of changes in the offseason, but the ones they did make were good moves. They re-signed Charlie McAvoy and was it Brandon Carlo, I believe, to extensions. I kind of worry about the Bruins in the long run. I mean, I probably shouldn't worry about this now, but, like, you know, once Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron retire, I mean, do they really have enough faith in younger players like McAvoy and Carlo and Danton Heinen to carry this team with Tuukka Rask and, you know, Yaroslav Halak in goal? I mean, I don't know. I think the Bruins will be good again this year, but I don't know about another Stanley Cup run. I mean, they got lucky last year. They had a lot of teams lose in front of them, like Tampa and Pittsburgh and Washington and the Islanders. And they kind of had a little bit of an easier road. So, I mean, those teams are going to have something to say this season. So I think getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals will not be easy. Yeah, we'll see what happens this season. But yeah, a lot of changes happened in the off season. Probably spend another show talking about that. Maybe I'll get into it another time, I think. But still, it's nice to see Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo back with extensions. So that's good news for the Bruins. But still, I think it's next. I think by next week I'll talk a little bit more hockey once it gets closer to the start of the season. So we'll talk a little more hockey next week. We'll have Alex Stoltz on our next show. And until we meet again next week, I'm going to end the show for now. We thank you for listening to Sports and Stuff here on EPRN. And if you want to advertise with us or start your own show in the future, just contact us. You can always just look for the contact us little tab on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. We're always looking for people that want to start their own shows, talk about what they like. So for everybody involved with this one, I'm John Meisner. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy fall, first week of fall, and hope to have you back here again next week with our guest Alex Stoltz from EPRN here on Sports and Stuff. This is John Meisner signing off. More local and national sports talk and entertainment next week on Sports and Stuff. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.